Google Christopher Moshoeshoe Mvalo, representing the Skills Development Branch of the Department of Higher Education and Training.
Important after translated to other programs, how they were meant for ethnic security. Hence, the system is so under-resourced, no infrastructure, no workshops, and the systems are not in place in a number of instances. But we are attending to all these programs, but it's a challenge. I think it's important, especially for the select committee to be appraised for the national certificate location. Unlike the traditional metric examination for ethnic policy, are conducted 7 times a year and 5 a year for other examinations and training, with candidates being assessed and certificated in each of these 9 examination cycles a year. Prior to the establishment of the department in 2009, the certification challenge has already existed in the issue of NCC certificate. We have then to deal with thousands and thousands of backlogs in terms of resulting and certification in the system, let alone the ongoing processes that we also need to contend with. But in terms of the backlog, as to date, 322,214 NCC level 2 to 4 certificates have been issued. 16,602 certificates were initially not issued because public ethics colleges owed certification fees to Manus. And it's a matter that was never brought to our attention either by provinces or the colleges themselves. We picked this up on our own when we were actually working vigorously to wipe out the backlog, and through our interaction with Umanuti as well, State Information Technology Agency, we actually picked up that some of the delays in the issue of the certificate are of the creation of colleges as well as provinces. Well, since then, successfully intervened and ensured that Umanuti leaves this block, and then certificates are now being processed for the list. Now, 3,491 certificates have not been issued by Umanuti because of outstanding certification fees owned by private equity colleges. The department has conducted each of these institutions with certain outstanding certification services. Now, in regards to 18,106 certificates have not been processed due to data anomalies in the candidate data set. This is the actual backlog which is confronting us at the present moment. The technology that we are using in the certification is how it's managed and administered by State Information Technology Agency. And it is them who are actually responsible for the data set in terms of the processing of the certification and the data. Now, the data set we get from them, it comes out with huge anomalies. We have elevated this problem and our processes of dealing with it, which has led us into getting a special dispensation to procure the services of the requisite IT services that we indicated to address this problem. But in the meantime, we have to work with what we have. And the future has actually pledged that they are increasing their own capacity in order to deal with this particular matter. Even same public equity policy currently have country government structures at the present moment, and appointments to the 15 years of Luna Charles and Bofo are being finalized at the present moment. Southern Northern Cape and Northwest shortlisting and due diligence have already been done, and the submission is ready now for being processed by the executive. Umalanga and the Western Cape, apart, 8 colleges in the country at the present moment are under administration, where we have appointed wrongdoing. And I spoke about the feeling of force of the principal as well as deputy principal. We advertised 13 posts for the entire country, conducted 11 interviews, and the posts that I do for shortlisting are 2. We've made appointments in 7, and 3 were going to re-advertise for not to have time to resolve. Identified, so interviews done, and we're processing the appointment of 1. And in deputy principal, 21, deputy principal has been appointed. Now there are 11 posts that are in the process of being filled. So the areas that were identified as a key challenge in this strategic policy, the question of governance, the question of management, report various aspects as well as student governance. So we are attending to all of them equally and simultaneously. The turnaround strategy is speaking to some of these pertinent issues. I spoke about the support on women resource management aspects of this strategic policy. We have appointed 20 human resource generalists to actually support the equity policy, because in some instances what we are picking up in this equity policy, people were appointed without any court description of workforce. So just because having do this work, no due processes that were rolled out or undertaken. We've also appointed 50 CFOs who are chartered accountants in all of our 50 equity policies. They are doing very good work. And the financial management is stabilizing. Yes, there are still challenges. Now, there is also a current improvement project in the Eastern Cape and in Bofo. We are doing it in partnership with Jet Education Services to complement our own capacity as a department. Substantive actions are currently being implemented in the community in pursuit of improved student performance, which includes the course, daily monitoring of student attendance, particularly for bursary recipients, where travel and accommodation allowance assessment is to attend. This is the area which is really troubling us, because we've established extensive fraudulent as well as corrupt practices in so far as this question of network is concerned. And the error rate on the average is 50% as our own processes of verification and investigation in this strategic college. They vary per college. Some students, if I may just illustrate, they would leave at their homes with their parents. They come to a college, they claim accommodation money. Some would live in the vicinity of a college. They come to a college and gain transport money. Others are awarded this bursary without meeting the requirement, because the requirement is to find students who academically, capably, and financially need those two going together. But in some instances, we find that a college will just come out and call everybody to come and register. Right? Those people are in the database. We fund according to the headcount enrollment. In the first month, those people are out of the system, but the college got money. So there's a lot which is happening, but we are cleaning it up. And some of the colleges that are under administration are as this kind of verification and investigation carefully we are undertaking. Not everywhere, because it takes a lot of our time in order to do. The administration of the student selection and placement test, another thing that we are emphasizing, working on, as well as the delivery of the academic support program. I think some of the things that we actually need an assistance from the select committee in this respective process. It is not correct for staff in this FCT college for every issue is a strike, for every issue is a strike. While there are due processes that are prescribed in terms of the law as well as bargaining has been acted, how those matters should be processed and addressed. And our quietness on this matter is actually devastating and destroying the education system in the country. And I think the sooner we speak in unity in them, it will really be quite beneficiary to the country. So hence this question of the delivery of academic support programs. We are addressing this matter to be quite very firm at the present moment, and we are not allowing anything to happen without due processes so that we reign in bringing stability in each and every city college. Provinces are affected, you know, quite differently, and colleges are affected quite differently. But I think to save time, I should not go to that detail as to what is happening there. But it's not a good experience or in relation to what is happening in some of the provinces, by and large, and in some of the FCT colleges. Now I think we'll be getting to program one, and I'll request my colleague to be quite economical at that time, but we're to go to 90 slides. If you can make a second slide, it will suffice.
Because
maybe
our
66
one.
Our
66 one. Thank you, Christine. I was trying, though the intention is also to be a community mass information as we have. Program one, in the annual report protecting our program performance starts on page 42 of the report. The purpose of the program is to conduct overall management of the department and to provide centralized support services, including services to the ministry. We had a total of 20 targets that were planned in the ATT, 11 of which have been or were achieved at the end of the year, 6 were partially achieved, and 3 were not achieved. The 6 that were not partially achieved, the person I do want to say, have since now been achieved. And on the 3, the next slide will elaborate as to where, how far we've gone in respect to those. The next slide deals with the budget for the branch. As you will see, we had a variance, a total variance of just under 500,000 rand, which was the saving. The main saving was actually, was on compensation budget. And this was a result of the post that could not be filled in the course of the financial year 2013-2014, and resignations that took place, especially at lower salary levels. If we go now to the achievements of the branch per target area, the first area was improving efficiency by implementing the necessary IT infrastructure and systems. We achieved the target in respect to the maturity level of our ICT, and that measures the extent to which ICT supports the attainment of the strategic objective and supports the business enterprise in this part. attain maturity level 1 at this stage. The second one deals with the network connectivity uptime or stability of our network. We achieve 100% there. And the last one deals with the availability of IT services 24 hours, 7 days a week. We did achieve that particular target. The next area is in the area of the human resource planning and management services. The first target deals with the period it takes to fill a vacancy. We reach the target of 4 months, which was the plan target. The next one was on the vacancy rate. Our target was 15%, and we exceeded that target of the 15%. At the end of the year, our vacancy rate was 11%. Out of the total of 1,079 homes in the establishment, 857 were filled, and those are funded homes. In regard to disciplinary changes, the target is to achieve 90 days to resolve cases. We were not able to meet that target of 90 days, and the reason for this was the delays that we experienced as a result of postponement and the non-availability of key witnesses for those cases. Still on HR Jefferson, our target here was to have 95 compliance with the HR strategic planning framework. We did not manage to achieve that target. We were at 53%, so that was partially achieved. And the reason there was that our HR plan was approved late. There was delayed approval of the HR plan, as well as the employment equity report, which was submitted after the closing date. But we have since now managed to comply with those deadlines. Lastly, on HR, in fact, performance management, we did achieve the target of 100%. The next area deals with the policies and standards on logistical services and supply chain management. The target here is 100% compliance with the logistical policies and standards, and we partially achieved that target. The reason for us not having fully achieved the target was there were two reasons. The first one, there is a project on improving security in the department, and there were irregular activities in the procurement of that particular project. The second one is that we were not able to report all transactions that were above 100,000 to National Treasury on time. I do want to say that in regard to the first issue of the security project, we have taken action there. There is a disciplinary process that is ongoing at this stage. The next area, again, is the payment of the 30-day invoices from service providers. We partially achieved that target, and the reason is that we received incorrect banking details from service providers, and there were also large transfer payments that were rejected by the system in that regard. In respect to what we're doing here on the incorrect banking details, we have decided that annually we are going to invite the providers to register on our supplier database and submit correct details, including banking details. On completion, our target was that our website will be available 365 days and we produce a quarterly newsletter. We partially achieved the target. The website is functioning 365 days per year. However, we could not meet the target of 4 newsletters in that year. We only had one in the second quarter of the year last year. The reason is that here we needed to improve our quality control system, appoint editorial board to manage the quality of the publications. The next area here, on the call center, there are 3 points of entry into the department. The first one is the presidential hotline. The second one is the call center of the department, and the third one is the website. On the presidential hotline, we achieved 98.4%. I mean 97.2% at the age of time. But what is interesting is that the number of queries that are reported in the presidential hotline is going down, which means that it is not the first point of call for the citizens. They go to the department call center as well as the website. In the department, we had 15,619 queries, and we resolved 99% of them. Under the expedition, we had planned 8 public relations events, and we exceeded the target by 3. And these purposes are outreach programs of the department, including the campaign, your Apply Now campaign, your career guidance expedition, the year of the artisan, and there's been a lot of activities around those campaigns. Hence, we exceeded the target. On the safety and healthy environment of the department, we have set a target of 98%. We ended the year with 90%. The reason for that change is that there are renovations that are currently underway, and we therefore have to, you know, remove some of the security systems during the renovation processes. We also got delays in the approval of the policies at our departmental back in November. But those policies have now since been agreed upon and approved by the DG. On fraud and corruption, we achieved the target. We have the policy on whistleblowing, and then we do get the whistleblowers reporting whatever, you know, irregular activities that are happening in this department. The next area deals with the financial and asset management, governance and control in the department in relation to public entities. We achieved the target of a transfer within 5 days to entities. Our financial statements were approved, and that is also in the AG's report. Our percentage compliance to PSMA was targeted at 100%, and the majority of PSMA compliance matters have been complied with, but we partially achieved this as we did not reach the target of 30-day payments to service providers. This is in regard to entities of the department. The number of agreements concluded and projects supported, there were 10 agreements that were planned to be concluded. However, no new agreements were signed in the financial year under question. Even though within branches there are activities in regard to public-private partnerships that are happening. The last one is regarding the percentage of assets lost or unauthorized movements of assets in the department. We did achieve the target of 1%. Now, what are we doing? What are we doing in order to deal with the targets that were not achieved? Firstly, on disciplinary cases, chairperson, we have and we do now provide the chairperson with a mandate not to allow unnecessary performance which results into delay. Secondly, in regard to the human resource strategic planning framework, we have improved as follows. Our HR plan has now been approved. We also submitted the HR plan implementation report to DPSA in order to meet, you know, the requirements of the public service regulation. Our employment equity report is also now ready for submission to the Department of Labor. We are meeting next week in the Employment Equity Forum to finalize the report. The macro organizational structure was approved by the minister, and it is currently under consultation with the Minister of Public Service Administration. We also now have a service delivery improvement plan, which has been approved and submitted to the Chairperson, I think I'm going to end there. I can provide more detail if it is required in any of the areas that we want to know. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Program 2, Government Self-Development Planning, Monitoring and Coordination. the purpose of this branch is to provide specific direction in the development, implementation, and monitoring of departmental policies, coordinate activities in relation to human resource development, autonomy, Africa, information systems, legal and legislative processes, research coordination, career guidance, and counseling. Chairperson Office 19 targets set out in the annual performance plan. 16 were achieved and 3 were partially achieved. Those that were partially achieved was basically due to the cost factor involved was personnel. And if we look at the link between the next slide, the link between expenditure and budget, we will see that there was an under expenditure in personnel of 2.55 million, whereas there was an over expenditure in goods and services of 870. Now, this explains the partially achieved because these were processes dependent on person power, and because of the attrition and the resignation of two senior persons, we were unable to complete those person power. When we say person power, they have to do policies and manage processes. On goods and services, Chairperson, if the legal and legislative costs that are not predictable and that they cannot be planned for beforehand, and so that's the... So 99% of the budget was particularly spent, but about 92% of the target were achieved. And the deviation there has got to do with the personnel cost, as I indicated. The Chairperson, the achievements or non-achievements are on the next slide, and this is around integrating the data from the university, the public equity, higher education institutions and theaters. The target was 80% of the data had to be integrated. We have been able to integrate the equity, higher education and adult education data, because those are data sets that came from quite a history and quite back from the DOE, the old DOE. The 20% that we did not target this year, and which is going to be the target for is the work of this particular financial year, the 21 teachers. In regards to career, coherent career management, starting from zero, career management, career development services, has also been one of the performance areas of the minister in terms of the performance monitoring evaluation process under DPME is the development of a career management information system. And I would like to urge members to please visit their website for actual evidence around career pipeline. You can even test yourself to find out whether you think you're in the right career. It will ask you a number of questions, assist you with writing a CV, but also telling you if you want to follow a particular career, which qualifications are best suited to this career, and which institutions offer those. And if you don't have funding, where can you begin to look at funding? We've also had a advocacy around bringing career guidance to the people. So our target for radio exhibitions, as Mr. Bobo mentioned, we managed and funded exhibitions, but our communication section has to assist with all the branding and those particular issues, and also bring people over. So we've exceeded that particular issue. Our helpline, and I also urge members to please phone the helpline and ask them for advice, just to test them. And then our web portal, where we had 91,903 visitors. We also planned an academic journal that required publication, but due to the staff issues that I mentioned, we were not able to publish the bulletin in time, especially in regards to the editing and the layout. It has now subsequently been achieved, but we reported it as a partially achieved our performance plan, development performance indicators, this chairperson and members you are sitting and looking at it, this is the work that has to be done in the annual report, annual performance plan, the strategic plan. Look, the annual MTF bid to Treasury, in fact, the work culminates today in the Minister of Finance in regards to his presentation of the medium-term budget policy statement. So I'm hoping and we're waiting for past 2 o'clock to hear the good news for us in terms of the Department of Higher Education and Training, where what we ask for is coming. Then, of course, quarterly reports and annual reports, which is part of the process that has been achieved. Chairperson, an investment report on education and training, in other words, how much have we spent, how many persons have we covered, here's our education allocations, we're keeping in touch with CPIF, how we're growing, how we're going to meet our projected numbers, etc. The report has been delayed because of, it was a unit of 2 people, one of the chief economists who had resigned, and so that report was delayed and it should be completed by the end of this month. Then we have international relations work that we do. Our target was to develop a strategic framework. In other words, how do we select which countries to work with? What are the international experiences that we need to take on board? Which countries do we have to undertake study tours, etc.? That again, also because of language and editing problems and stuff, will be finalized by the end of the month. Those are the 3 that were partially achieved. The rest of the ones in terms of an implementation plan for international relations, in terms of who do we engage, a publication of international cooperation, a database of international engagements have all been achieved. In terms of legal and legislation, Chairperson, big part of our problem is to shepherd through legislation through Parliament. And we've done, last year, was the groundbreaking amendments to the Equity Act in the moving of the AX, of which this particular select committee also played a role. And of course, a number of legal litigation issues that we deal with. And as we put more pressure on good governance in terms of our institution, in terms of even policy and regulatory issues that the minister has to deal with, we face a number of court challenges in regards to those that we have to defend. Chairperson, the next area is about social inclusion and equity. A policy document has been developed and provided to the committee that is presenting to the portfolio committee, the Committee on Transformation. Then, of course, the big area is in regards to monitoring and supporting the statutory functions assigned to SECWA and the Quality Council in regards to the implementation of the National Qualifications Act. And there also, ministerial guidance have been issued if required. The minister has made a determination on the soft framework. That was a key requirement of the MQF Act implementation that came into 2009, and the minister has now determined those soft frameworks. Chairperson, let me stop there.
Chair, mine is just to share with members of the Select Committee development around the University Education Branch. Its purpose is to develop and coordinate a policy and a regulatory framework for an effective and efficient university education system. This also extends to providing financial support to universities, the national institutes, as well as NESPOC. In terms of our target, Chairperson, we had 31 targets. And for the year under review, 16 has been achieved, 13 were partially achieved, and 2 targets were not achieved. The question is to date what has been achieved, and I can report that 25 targets to date have since been achieved. And I'll focus slightly as I go with my presentation on those that have not. If you go through the budget, you would see that that's quite a substantial budget, 26.2 billion. And out of the 26.2 billion, we could not spend 557,000. Statistically, that is even way less than 1%. So clearly, it shows that in terms of our budget investment process, this is something that we're quite efficient on. I have to emphasize that if you look at the budget quite closely, you will see that a significant portion of it is transferred to universities. And we did share with members of the Select Committee some of the processes that we follow in relation to how we transfer funds to universities. And I can assure you that it's not, we don't serve as a conduit, it's just as a post office. Universities have to meet certain requirements, including providing audited financials as well as progress reports. And where we're not satisfactory with some of the issues identified in the progress report, we do recommend to the minister not to dispense funds. In terms of the actual performance of the branch, is that if you look at the number of students enrolled at higher education institutions, our target was 109,000 students. We had overachieved this target. We had registered 938,000 students. And this obviously has significant implications in terms of finances because we set our targets based on our baseline. So if we do over-enroll, it does have a significant impact, not in terms of the financing, but also the infrastructure at our institution. In terms of total headcount enrollment, our target was 17.9%. That target has been achieved, so I'm not going to dwell much on those that have been achieved. In terms of the number of first-time enrollments at universities, the target was 179,000. We had underachieved on this target. You will see that the variance was 688 as per 31st of March 2013. But I think something that I need to emphasize is that there is a bit of a disjuncture between when the report and some of the data that we get from our universities. We fund universities based on audited data. And sometimes by the time when we report, we hadn't received the final audited data. That is why you'll see under the status at 9 October that some of those targets, while we're reporting that they were underachieved, we had actually exceeded or even achieved. In terms of having an environmental impact assessment study conducted, this target was not achieved because the was the complexity around the development of particularly greenfield projects. What I need to emphasize is that where we're expanding using existing infrastructure, work around that was completed. The only work that was not completed is around greenfield projects. In terms of gazetting of the seats of the two new universities, interim councils for these universities, nominations, the plan target was to gazette, and then by actual achievement we had received nominations, and I'm happy to indicate that to date we've actually produced a gazette outlining the interim council members as well as the seat of this new university. In terms of the next slide, the program qualification framework for these two universities has since been developed for each of the universities, and I just specifically like to draw members to the website that is available that can also provide a little bit more detail in terms of the processes around the two new universities. The website is www.newuniversities.ac.za. In terms of the spatial plan for each of the universities, the initial spatial plan for each university has since been developed, so we have achieved this target. In terms of the number of public higher education institutions involved in foundation funds, foundation phase, this target has been achieved. A while back, it was only 8 universities that are involved in this. To date, we've got 20 universities. And by the end of the next financial year, we will have 21 universities providing this. A policy on the development of FET lecturer qualifications, that was a performance indicator. This target was partially achieved, but to date we have In terms of our EPT targets, in terms of the number of African students at universities, the target was 593,000. We had 640,000, so this target was achieved. And as Rab alluded, there are some early challenges in relation to where we overachieve in terms of our target. The number of female students at universities, I think this was a typo that needs to be emphasized, that although we had set a target of 593,000, the target is actually 539,000. So this was a typo, which I'd like to draw members specifically to. But if you look at that, we had achieved, actual achievement was 542,000. When we reported, but to date, after we've received the actual audited data, the target is 554,000. In terms of the total number of students in foundation provisioning programs, and this is where we need to emphasize that this program targets specifically underprepared students at universities. So it's very important in terms of those, given those that do not have otherwise qualified the necessary support to be able to take them to the mainstream education program. So this is a very important target where we had set a number of 14,600. We had slightly underachieved, but if you look at the audited data, you will see that we've actually achieved in relation to this particular target. Still, in terms of foundation provision, in terms of the funds dispersed, we have a revised policy to improve the use of foundation programs. I think this goes to the earlier point that I emphasized, that it's very important for preparing underprepared students for the demands of higher education. So this target has been achieved. Relating to the success rate, we have set a target of 76%. We slightly underachieved in terms of when we reported, because we reported 75%. Success rate, but the audited data shows that it's actually 76%. Number of graduates from our universities, the target was 167,000. When we reported 160,000, but when you look at the actual data, it comes at 165,000. So either way you look at it, we would have underachieved in relation to this target. It's something that we engage in with a number of universities to understand that actually what would have happened, why did they achieve in terms of the actual graduation target set. Going to scarce and critical skills, you'll see that in terms of the number of graduates in engineering sciences, the target was 10,682. We had underachieved. What we reached was a target of 9,387, but the audited data showed the target of slightly less than 10,000. So we had underachieved in terms of this target. In terms of the number of graduates in human health and animal sciences, the target was 8,535. We achieved the target of slightly over 8,000. So we had partially achieved in relation to this target. Also, if you look at the audited data as we've received it, it shows that we have slightly underachieved, but there are specific programs including expansion of the veterinary sciences program at the University of Pretoria that have been put in place to ensure that we actually improve the number of graduates in this field. In terms of the number of graduates in natural and physical sciences, the target was 5,052. We reported a target of 5,526. So this target was actually exceeded. And then if we go to the number of graduates in initial teacher education from universities, the target was 9,700. Our target was 10, what we actually achieved was 10,543. So we had overachieved in relation to the target. But if you look at the attrition rate in terms of the number of teachers we're losing, it means that we definitely have to revise the target upwards. Because while we might have achieved and overachieved in relation to our targets, this is definitely not in line with what the country needs. The attrition rate, and it's due to a number of reasons. Retirement, a lot of teachers, if you look in the public service, you know, not all of them are actually in the teaching profession. In terms of the percentage of higher education institutions with good governance and management, you will see that our target was 78%, and one asked why not a target of 100%. We didn't want all your institutions to have good governance and management. Of course, we'd want to set a target of 100%, but one of the ways in which we set targets is that we need to be smart and realistic in terms of whether we can achieve that. It would be no use for the department to set a target of 100% when we know there are institutions under administration, when we know the independent assessors reports are pointing out to serious issues of management and governance at universities, when we do get allegations of corruption and we ask for forensic audits that point out that there might be problems. But I think once we've cleaned up some of these issues that I've talked about, the target will definitely be 100% for all institutions. In terms of the percentage of registered private higher education institutions, the target was 100%, but out of the 166 institutions, two failed to meet our compliance requirements, and therefore they were deregistered. So this target definitely would not be achieved. We'll still at the end of this financial year, we'll still have those two institutions registered if they don't meet some of the compliance requirements set by the department. In terms of the percentage of statutes of universities reviewed and published, we achieved our target of 100%. The key here is to make sure that institutions constantly, on a regular basis, review their statutes. It's at the heart of good governance and management. So you need to make sure that your statutes are reviewed on a regular basis. The number of governance training workshops for ministerial appointees, we had set a target of one workshop. We had a very successful workshop. But following that, other council members had actually said, why only target ministerial appointees? We also need this kind of workshop. So the department is obviously looking into how we can extend that to other council members. However, I have to say that there are budgetary constraints, so we'll have to see how best we can achieve that so that we ensure that all council members that require training are fully deployed. In terms of the number of universities with five ministerial council appointees, the Higher Education Act provides that the minister can request universities to appoint up to five ministerial council. We've since looked at all the universities, and 18 to date have appointed up to five ministerial councils. There are ongoing discussions with the other five to ensure that we can make sure that we meet that requirement. One of the things that I need to emphasize about ministerial appointees is that this is a process that the minister and the department takes quite seriously. We want to appoint people that can make a meaningful difference in terms of governance at our universities. And I have to report to the committee that actually some of the ministerial appointees they put there with and actually chairpersons of some of the councils, which shows the caliber of the people that we definitely appoint to this council. In terms of research capacity and productivity in our institutions, the number of postgraduate students, the target was 44,520. We had reported 43,067. But if you look at the audited data, you will see that we slightly above the target. The audited data shows 45,593 graduates in that. So in terms of the number of master's graduates, the target was 4,978. We have achieved that target, registering 5,281 master's graduates. In terms of the number of doctoral graduates, the target was 1,785. We reported 1,576 for the year under review, but the audited data indicated that the target was slightly higher than that, which was 1,878. And then in terms of the number of publications, the target was 10,807 publications. We achieved that target. Actual performance came at 11,191. So this target was exceeded. In terms of the ratio of research outputs per instructional research staff, the target was 1.3. We reported but the actual achievement was 1.25, but the audited data indicated that we were spot on in terms of our targets. And then the last slide from the university branch is relating to how often universities report to us. Universities have to report in terms of their HEMIS data twice. And like I've indicated, this is what we use in terms of how we find universities, in terms of the data that they provided. So in terms of that, two updates were provided, and an annual update for in terms of space data was also provided to the branch. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Program 4 is Vocational and Continuing Education and Training. And the purpose of this branch is to plan and essentially implement national policy programs and systems for VTEC institutions, which are essentially our ETC colleges, and for post-literacy adult education, and our delivery institution in that regard is our adult education and training centers. In terms of our targets, we had 22, and what is quite striking in the research branch is that it's a high number of partially achieved targets. Mm-hmm. We had 10 against 9 that were achieved. And we need to contextualize that. It is the VSET institutions, the ABT colleges, as well as the AET institutions that have been impacted by the function shifts since the current administration came into being in 2009. So this has had serious governance implications for these institutions. And suffice to say that they are largely process issues. And you will see as the indicators come up, the targets come up, how they have been impacted as a result of this major shift in policy implementation. In terms of the expenditure of the branch in essence and in short was able to spend its whole budget for the period and the review. In fact, there was a shortfall. You will see 1.689 million was the shortfall. There had to be a violent, and in essence, that covered the cost for compensation of employees, which were really the examiners and the moderators for the national exam system. And earlier on, you did hear that we run a massive national exam system for the colleges. So the 1.758 million would not have been able to, was not available to pay the examiners and moderators if it were not for the environment. So in essence, the budget of the branch was fully spent for that period. It's important to note that the outputs of the targets in the VSET branch are largely around the issue of access for students into further and higher learning opportunities, and that is linked to success as well for these students. It also has to do with institutional support, making these institutions better and more efficient, and to provide institutional development support through HR capacity development across the system at various levels. So all of the indicators will speak, the targets will speak to these indicators in one way or another. The first of these is the enrollment target for learners in adult education and training. We had a target of 255,000 and in the end achieved just over, close to 251,000. And here the issue of the function shift has a role to play because the priority of provinces do not always align to that of the national department. So the underachievement, marginal as it is, has to do with the fact that provinces have prioritized differently in some instances, and therefore we have not met our target for that particular target. Whereas in terms of the enrollment for further education training colleges, where the shift has happened more notably than with adult education and training, we have seen a marked increase in enrollment. The target was 550,000, and there has been an actual achievement of at least 20% increase of 657,690, and that's a significant increase year, from the previous year into the current year. In terms of the expansion of programs to improve access for learners into a greater variety of programs, the department had embarked on the introduction of the National Senior Certificate for Adult Learners, which was a gap in the system of provision. The curriculum could not be developed because the funding was not forthcoming and the bid process failed from National Treasury, so a separate process to secure funding for the development of curriculum was pursued. But because of that, the curriculum process could not be completed, but since then, the funding has been secured, and in the current year, the curriculum process is continuing. The number of FET college students who have been awarded bursaries has also, in a sense, overachieved. The target was 180,826, and the actual achievement is 188,182. And the intention is to make education, particularly further education, accessible to more and more young people. In terms of provincial allocation, clearly the provinces with the largest number of colleges, which is KZN, got the lion's share of the three allocations, and they have been in excess of 47,000 recipients in that province. The smallest, of course, is the Northern Cape that has just two colleges, but still has in the region of 4,000, just about 4,500 recipients, and the first three recipients. Thank you, I will. In terms of the eight colleges that are offering higher education programs, that target has been achieved. Most of them are in the Western Cape province. With regard to the certification rate for the in colleges and in the adult education centers, there's a marginal underachievement. If we look at the National Certificate of Vocational, that is largely attributable to the lecture capacity that is lacking, and you will see in other indicators we treat that seriously and we are addressing it. In terms of the Report 191 programs, N1 and N3, there's been a sharp decrease, but that has to do with the fact that those programs were to be phased out around 2010 and have subsequently been, they're about to be phased out around 2009, but they brought back 2010. And what colleges really did then was redeploy those resources to the National Certificate Vocational. But now there has been a turnaround and colleges are beginning to reallocate resources and drive up the success rate in the Report 191 program. In terms of the indicator related particularly to mathematics and mathematical literacy, we note significant improvements. If you look at mathematical literacy, the planned targets of 39%, 37%, 47% for the three levels sharply increase. And those are attributable to the focus that there is on mathematics to deliver the required level of skills in the country. And if you look at autism development, for example, which requires mathematics. So there has been interventions at all levels, at the national level, at regional level, and at college level, and the consequences of that are notable in the achievement. In terms of the certification rate of bursary recipients, the planned targets were not achieved, but I'm not going to speak to that because it was sufficiently covered in the DG's opening remarks, and that's the culpability of both students and colleges in misallocating this funding. And it requires the department to monitor this a lot more strictly and to have stricter reporting mechanisms in place. The next indicator, chair, will not be covered because it's purely a compliance indicator on donor funding where we have to report to donors quarterly on whether we have achieved the deliverables as per the agreement. In terms of the training component, capacity building for student support services, delivering the colleges in compliance with the framework that applies to colleges, there has been an overachievement, 128 were targeted, but given the focus on student development, 201 student support services officers were trained to support the students that we get in our colleges who require that support in various ways, particularly in terms of academic support. Lecture training is a key focus. There has been a marginal overachievement there. Target 700, 708 was achieved, and that continues to be a significant focus area to drive up certification and achievement of students. The number of provincial education department officials who were trained, the target was 60, but only 35 were trained, and here again, it relates to adult education and training where the provinces have not prioritized that area of delivery in line with what the national department has planned. So again, it's a disjuncture. Until the full function shift has happened, we do expect to find those deficiencies impacting our reporting. The number of personnel trained for AET and in the case of the NASA, that couldn't happen because the curriculum was not developed, as discussed before. The number of personnel trained in vet institutions, in financial management, that is in essence not an underachievement, it's a changed activity. Because of the amount of funding that was going into colleges over the recent period, it was regarded as too much of a risk to put that level of funding in the hands of inexperienced financial officers in the colleges. And instead of training, the department prioritized the appointment of chief financial officers. And those were put in place. And in the current year, the training is happening of the officials in the colleges under the guidance and the leadership of these professionals and experts. So it was actually a change indicator.
Can I just keep this for a minute?
Okay. I think I will just deal with the next indicator actually changed. Maybe one or two. The councils of colleges have been constituted. There were 31 in the last year, but currently only two are in process. Four provinces completed, three have to be signed off, and only two outstanding. The HRM framework for personnel here has not been trained on because the collective bargaining process has not been completed, and it's relying on that to finalize an HRM plan. And finally, the achievement on the percentage of vocational education training institutions conducting improved assessments, the target was 100%, the 87% achievement is attributable to the fact that what the media covered already, that some level of examination were compromised in leakages and so forth, but that's better to continue. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. This one is under Program 5 for Skills Development. The purpose is to promote and monitor the National Skills Development Strategy. Targets for the period under review were 15, of which 10 were achieved, 1 partial achieved, 4 and not achieved, but then in the main, mostly they've been achieved since then. On the next slide, that is dealing with the link between expenditure and budget and performance plans in relation to key indicators. You'll see here, Chairperson, that we have spent 99.9% of the budget that was at our disposition. On the next slide, we're dealing with the number of artisan candidates found competent nationally. The target was 10,000. The actual achievement for the period up until 31st March then was 8,655. But then, of course, I can bear testimony to the effect that we have since then achieved those targets, because those numbers were before a verification. Hence, you'll see 15,277 under status as at 9th October 2013. Moving to the next one, dealing with the number of graduates receiving work integrated learning. The target that was planned for the period under review was 8.5, of which we have overachieved that target at 14,961. The next one deals with securing trade testing system developed and implemented at all trade test centers. Of course, that one, that was not achieved because we had to
comply with the State Information Technology Agency, some of the regulations or legislation thereof. But then, of course, I can mention that this will be piloting in 2014. Number of audits conducted at CETA accredited trade test centers, 20 were overachieved that one as well, Chairperson. And you'll see also here in this slide, all of these targets have been achieved, dealing with the learning program regulations aligned to the occupational qualification framework, policy framework for ISOE and SDI agencies developed and implemented, a best practice annual critical path framework signed off by NSA and implemented, and the percentage of CETAs implementing NSDS 3 with an approved service level agreement. The next one, number of CETAs, also here we've achieved all this in this slide, Chairperson. Number of CETAs strategic plans analyzed in relation to the CETA skills plan and approved, improved communication with CETAs through CETA fora. Number of NSDS implementation reports, all of these targets were achieved. On this slide, the first one, number of annual review reports. Then, of course, this was not achieved at the end of the financial year, but then I can bear testimony to the effect that this has since been achieved. The next one, dealing with the amount earmarked support project of national priority, 2.3 billion, 8.83 billion. You can see also this one was overachieved as a result of our implementation of NSDS 3. Going to the next one, this one dealing with the number of projects supported by National Skills Fund, you'll see that the plan target was 262 projects supported by National Skills Fund, and then there were 157 projects. But then if you go further down, in terms of quantity, we have achieved more, because mid-2012, we have made use of more of our FET colleges compared to using this project. So that is why 32,000, and then we have achieved 95,000 in terms of learners who benefited. In that, great note, thanks very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Jane. In terms of financial information, the last few slides, just a very brief indication of what the Auditor General reported. First of all, that we received an unqualified audit. However, although the audit was unqualified, there were certain key matters that the IG raised. The first being significant uncertainties, and this relates to the lawsuits where the department is the defendant, and this is required by the IG to reflect on that, as the outcome of those lawsuits are not yet known. In terms of the restatement of corresponding figures, this refers to change disclosure requirements where, in terms of the accountancy measures by National Treasury, certain matters had to be restated for the previous financial year as the reporting requirements changed. The same principle is also applicable on the next slide. The second bullet also refers to the annual financial statement and the misstatements that took place, which is on the same principle. The first bullet on that slide refers to the HR management and compensation issue, where verification processes were not performed prior to the appointment of all new officials. The HR units, in the meantime, addressed that area. And the last bullet that refers to the CETA revised strategic plans now approved by the minister before the beginning of the financial year. That has been addressed in the meantime, and the department is bringing forward the due dates for the submission of those to give the minister enough time to apply his mind on all those strategic plans of the various CETAs and other public entities. Jay, then, in terms of internal controls, the IG also reported matters around leadership, where they refer to some of the action plans that were developed that were not fully addressed in the previous financial year. Of those, many have been addressed in the meantime, and the department is attending to that. Perhaps also just to specifically flag that the minister also requested to receive reports, senior management is receiving reports, and we are also reporting to the audit committee and the risk committee on all the actions taken. In terms of the second bullet under leadership, inadequate consequence management for action plans,
This relates to whether managers are held responsible, and our HR unit is currently working on a review of performance agreements to ensure that managers are held responsible for what is reported in the audit reports. And the last point there is that policies and procedures at program level are not always in place in terms of reporting on actual achievements of planned objectives, and this is receiving current attention with the hope that we can address it before the end of this financial year. The next slide, Chair, is referring to financial and performance management. That specifically relates back to the restatement, as I already indicated, in terms of the changed accounting policies. And the issue of governance, which focuses on risk management, mainly refers to the fact that the department has risk processes in place, but by the time of the audit, not yet appointed a risk manager. That has been addressed in the meantime. Interviews were held, and the risk manager will be appointed on 1 November this year. The next slide, Chair, I'm not going into detail. In fact, the next two slides, which only refers to some of the discrepancies that the AG found in terms of performance information. The branches will really address those in detail, so I'm not going to address that again. And then if we go to the next slide, we only refer to action plan on audit findings. As we mentioned before, we do have action plans that have been completed to address the audit findings, and these are reported to the Minister, the Audit Committee, and to senior management meetings with the hope that we won't have repeat findings on this again. So then, just to reflect on some of the spending for the financial year 2012-13, our total allocation for that year, 43.280 billion, and total expenditure, as you can see, only a 3.7 million saving or under expenditure at the end of the financial year. The two big programs, obviously, is university education, where all the subsidies for the universities are. There we basically spent everything. The balance there was mainly for operational issues. And then program four, which is quite important, where the conditional grant for the colleges are also of that. You'll see there of the 5.048 billion for program four, 4.8 billion of that is in relation to the conditional grant. Program 6, direct charges, that chairperson is the levies for CETAS and the NSF, the skills levy, which we receive almost as a post office and transfer over to the CETAS and the NSF. That is why you can also see there is no under expenditure or saving amount. If you look at the next slide, that just shows you the spending trends for economic classification. And I think important here specifically under transfer payments, under provinces, the 4.844 billion is the FET conditional grant as it was still for the 2012-13 financial year. The full amount were transferred to provinces by the department. And in terms of actual spending by provinces, from what was reported, provinces spent 4.824 billion of that amount. There were approximately 20 million under expenditure by some of the provinces, mainly related to vacant posts in some of the areas for which they could not spend the money. And in terms of the Division of Revenue Act, those amounts unspent is transferred back to the National Revenue Fund, and then will be reallocated according to normal government procedure. Okay, the next two slides is just mainly indications of the main reasons for under expenditure per program. I'm not going to go into that in detail. And then if we look at the last one, I just want to thank
mind there, really it's not used. And it then increase access of students to colleges or and universities. What one wants to know is that is it a question of the colleges opening doors of learning for more? Not looking at the stringent criteria that does not allow the media caps. The media caps. That one is on the WSU. WSU. I know you may not have power to propose, propose you can to decide in terms of the council applying a cabin to the ceiling for the salary. You told us that they are the only university that are highly paid. The one example is that after settling the strike, I think they had agreed on 5%, and they gave themselves 15% on top of what they are having now. So it the salary keeps on increasing yearly. Is there any mechanism of ensuring that there is a cabin of this huge salary and them addressing other issues rather than just looking at a salary? But also, so the issue would be, I'm assuming that there's no commission, either there's a commission that decides on their salaries or it is the council. So on the council applying fiduciary duty to say, no, this is how you need to spend the money, administration, maintenance, infrastructure, and all those things. And the other one is there's a school that we visited in September in Harangua. That school is a college school, but it's a four-room thing owned by people with disabilities. There are teachers there paid by the department. However, on the teacher development side, those teachers are not accessing any teacher development. But other than that, it's a four-room. And then we have some sheikhs or zonzos where they're offering ADET or IAET, but I'm saying IAET, they're offering ADET, the way we do it, those teachers. And then they are also offering the skills. It's all people that are attending them. So you may call it college or whatever it is. So they're saying they have a lens. That is where they can maybe move to that thing, but they need some sozos or whatever it is in order for them to increase their space. Maybe the report has been given to you, but next week we're getting back there. Some of the issues we were saying, maybe they might be responded to or not. On the engineering sciences that you are, that universities are purchasing. I won't know what type of engineer, whether it is the head from health department, that clinical engineer. This report talks about engineering sciences, something like that. And Haokian province has a problem. because of the shortages of the engineers and project managers. However, if one interacts with communities or in meetings, there will be people that should be saying, you are complaining that you don't have, or should have a shortage of engineers. However, we are qualified as engineers, but there is a problem of accessing. I don't know what is it that they have to do after qualifying. So they don't get employed because they can't be paid anyone. So what then I would be then asking to say, with this target that you are achieving, the universities are achieving on engineering sciences, are they being placed or maybe just leave them after our graduation? And you always cry that in South Africa we have a problem of engineering. On the initial teacher training, I recommend the universities. However, one wants to ask, say, what is the percentage of the African teachers that have been produced? By 2009, when I left the system, there was a problem in the initial teacher training of because there were many female, white females taking the initial training, and were then saying maybe in the long run, because of attrition and other things, we'll be running short of African teachers in the townships or in the rural areas. So what is the percentage that is being produced? I would also strongly agree and recommend that going forward, 2014-15, there has to be a need and a budget of training all these university councils and or attitude council members, because we are having we're gradually having more attitudes under administration and more universities that are under administration. So it goes back to the capacity of the council members. And then on the management, universities might be appointing people with high skills, however, with a lack of management and leadership. And or also, we've already indicated that some of the things that lead them to go under is the capacity of the finance people. So, in some of the colleges and or universities, we have appointed the CFO. It may not be all equity colleges. So, the question of the financial management, also you need to look at anyone practicing as a finance person in a college or university, if he doesn't have all those qualifications to do that, based on the program for financial management, and also these highly qualified people that are principals or managing agents or other colleges also be put in the leadership and management department. Thank you.
I was impressed with
here. Presented a report to us on the interventions that have been made in policy that are trying to manage or administer their assets. It is important to take this relocation in that regard because I don't think it's up to the report.
The next part,
yes.
I want to acknowledge the achievements that have been made around the network and the expansion to other underrepresented students. But the one factor is the issues that have been linked by the teachers around the network that we need to see. When we interact with this, because our particular group, we keep on bumping into students that the students are experiencing on the network in terms of the unequal allocation of funding, the issues of transport, funding, and accommodation. So those are some of the issues that are still needed to be addressed by the department to ensure that this is not going to be to the students that are related. And the WUSU, I would like to know what is the impact of the strike on staff and with students. And what is the catch-up plan for students that has been established with the department or developed? And how is the department dealing with the demands made by the staff? I will stop there.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. These policies have my really excited both of them. But let's just sort those out. Yes, I would just like to know, firstly, before I start with targets. When we did three parliaments to the people, there was at the one college a problem with students on the certificates. I would like to know on the outstanding certificates of this 18,106 on page 6, how long are the department going to take to sort this out? We are going to parliament to the people next week again. We don't have answers for these students. We were almost held ransom as committee by students. The police who had to help us as NCOP because students did not want to release us before we have answers. I want to know on this 18,000 certificates outstanding in the country, because this is becoming a problem. I know you are working on it. What is your timeline? I don't see timelines on this. And this is what students want to know. Then, on all the targets, I want to know on what grounds was target set. If I set myself a target of I need to know 50% of my work, and that is my 100% target, it is so easy achievable. So I want to know on what grounds was all these targets set. And I will qualify what I'm saying, because if I... Okay, I'm going to go to this. No, don't want to get this. Let's just pass to this question. Specifically on program 1, for instance, it's very vague, the target, to be quite honest. If you look at it, it is very vague. And if you also look at the auditor general's report, I just want to see where that was. That was not on the supply chain management, but I'm back to that. So it says the auditor general made findings that the performance targets were not specific, especially in program 3 as well, as far as the nature of the required level of performance. Now, if you look at performance targets, my problem is I want to know, surely there should be moderators and that could up that can help that certain targets must be set. I mean, I can put a ridiculous target there and people can achieve it. But then if you look at the achievement of targets at the end as well, and he's saying that how many targets was not met, some of it was not achievable. This is the problem that I'm having. How do we set targets to ourselves? Because if it's easy targets, we're going to overachieve. If it's difficult targets, we will not achieve. Who is setting the standard on these targets? Because that means there's a big problem with the target setting, to be quite honest. Then 8 colleges under administration in South Africa, and we are talking about administrators, we're talking about 20 human resource generalists that have been appointed to deploy to MPC colleges. What does this cost to government? I would want to know in figures, what is this cost to government? Surely our finance guys here will be able to help me with that. The presidential hotline is not working in any case, so we might be going for that. Always phone, no one answers. Okay, that's not the problem. Just on a quickly then, I'll finish the program one. I'm on the point now.
No, I'm just saying, when you raise political issues, definitely what we do is just for the can we just...
Yes, no, that's why I said this is not political.
Don't mention anything that is political because we'll do it just for the
okay, out of 20 targets on program 1, is evidence being achieved, but it says also that there are investigations progressing. I would like to know, what is the progress in the findings so far in these investigations on, for the non-compliance of that SCM? So if you can help me on that, I'm almost there. You know, I have to now talk for me and on the board of values because it's not the usual that I want to talk. Then I would also like to know the department report that there are two private. I want to be protected. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Honourable Makhanyani. I'll talk to you later as well. The department reported that two private. I'm not scared if you can go. The department reported that two private higher education institutions did not comply with the regulated criteria as a result of the deregistration. Where are these private institutions and who are these? And how are you dealing with this? And then I would just like to know, can we not grow the Northern Cape University faster? We are all so excited. And thank you for what you guys done on there. We will always appreciate your management team for helping us getting the Northern Cape University going. But let's do it faster. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll just
for legal purposes.
Okay. I think just like change the decision about the safety list for the service provider. Because when you that this is one target that across all the departments have a problem. And which I don't know whether it's the national treasury that has to maybe make it easier for departments to comply with it. Because it's a very serious problem for the people who are service providers to the department or to government as a general, who sometimes borrow money to render the service, but then they don't get paid. Sometimes it goes on to 3 months and so on. So this is one thing I think that needs to be done. I don't blame the department for it, but even with other departments, they will see this problem. And then the other one say about the EIA in Greenfield project, that in which I take it that it was in Mpumalanga and Northern Cape, where I think the problem here maybe should be looked at from another angle, in that in the planning, the duration of the EIA was not taken into account. So, and by the time work has to start, the EIA has not been completed. So maybe it should be looked at in that way and can be attended to.
yeah, I think it's very encouraging. It's a very nice package there that I think you have to be commended for that. And then my other question is, what's the relationship between the department and the NRS, the National Research, the National Research Fund?
Foundation.
Yeah. Because part of their mandate is development of high-level research skills, and they see that there. And then this is actually also part of the mandate of the department. So is there a relationship between the two? And well, maybe a comment on the community. We deal with a number of departments, and each department has got its own language and abbreviation. So we find that we have to be more proficient in abbreviation than giving the people in the department. Because in each department, they only have to learn their own language. Maybe we can develop an industry on translation of abbreviation. And even a bachelor of abbreviation.
Fun.
resources, as well as the university level of aid and in human rights. It was informed by that kind of work.
I think we have many meetings which are quite
important. I was just about to this is really
effective. Correct. No, thanks. Now, some other people don't understand. They always try their life. That's why the program actually came. And in some instances, they relate to purely fraud and corruption, and were acting on those quite decisive. Now, what are the solutions? The finding of assessment, among others, was that a university is spending 80% of its operational budget on salaries. And we sought to find out as to how that arose in an institution. The high number of anomalies in the practice. And what then they did in order to compensate with this high level of spending in salaries. They would take money from infrastructure programs, from student support programs, and pay salaries. Right? Now, to rectify those situations, one of the things was to immediately stop at the time. Now, when stopped, members would report that the administrator went in there October 2011. Now, 2012, workers who couldn't and staff who couldn't pay themselves for consecutive 8 months demanded an increase. Now, it doesn't depict normality. You are not able to pay salary in the first instance of regular pay, but you want income. There's a lost sense of conscience in the first instance. In that situation. So we said, no, it cannot happen. If you report, they went to strike. Right. But we managed to rein on that. And we had to work into addressing the overdraft facility. Because the institution was indebted. It was technically bankrupt. If it was a company, it had to close down. But it couldn't because it's a public facility. In the initial instance, we had pumped in there 310 million at a go. And pumped, you know, other money. To date, they spend at around 858 million to address the question of overdraft, to address the question of regularizing the payment of salary, to also address the payment of a creditor who were owed millions. And all those backlogs have been cleared. Now the institution has broken in. Now, staff and workers, they can't say, no, we want another increment. Alright? Now, when we look at the matter together with the administrator, we established that if the institution had to assist to this demand, it's going to cause a recurring cost in the institution of about 38 million, which is not there. We said no, they went to strike. We had to work out as to how do we manage the strike, we managed it, and we refused this time to take money from other programs to pay salary. Yeah. Then we had to set the institution and the administration had to set with the staff and workers there. 5%. Yeah. Now, the recurring cost
traveling allowance. Now, commuting allowance is an allowance that was introduced before 1994, when some other people had to come from other communities and render services in townships and in rural areas. They would be compensated through what was referred to as commuting allowance by government at that stage. We found that at Waterloo University, there are 16 staff members, all of them who are actually paid staff allowance, as well as the academic module, as well as finance module, is completely flawed. We are ending those things. Because as a result, some people would earn more money on allowances than their salary. Yes. Because they have to tour the entire Eastern Cape on a continuous basis. So we have to put a stop on this. So the question of water consumption is a bit deeper, and it has got systemic flaws, and in that process, staff and workers used to dictate what would happen in the institution, disregarding whatever would have been in the interest of the institution. That's why at this stage we had to stand up and say, no, it can't continue happening. Now, among craft, I will find out on this one and we can't get to it. I suppose it was raised in the previous meeting. Can you tell this among craft? Because I'm not hearing it for the first time. Yeah.
Thank you.
critical questions that we need to ask. I suppose some of them has got to do with some of the policies and perhaps prioritization we have to undertake. It's a matter that even the Minister of Finance, when looking at how the maintenance in hospitals is being done, what is the defining feature in the hospital? And the feature is not good. It's better yet in the Western Cape because of the capacity in terms of expertise that has been retained in the public service than anywhere else. I think those are the things that we need to actually address. The councillor, the council, you know there is a training program, but you can't give some board not to see or not to pronounce. We have to put in place no other measures. Because some are not doing these things because they don't have capacity. It's such that if their capacity is applied in the wrong way. But we will undertake them to train nonetheless so that they are able to focus on the work. After that, I think they will address. I think I addressed that there are 8 FET colleges that are not. And any institution is put under administration when they identify wrongdoing. And that wrongdoing is always in relation to finances, and that aspect affects the provision of curriculum and program in the institution. Hence, then intervention has to be effective. I think I've addressed the question of Minister. The impact of strike. So a settlement was arrived at, it was signed, and the management developed a catch-up program, which is working quite very well. More at the present moment. Those are the questions in the update that we are getting as a way of the catch-up. The outstanding is 18,000. It's not quite easy for us to give them that because we're not the only party. We are working on this together with state information technology. We impress upon them to increase their capacity in order for this problem to be resolved. They are paying their attention. So we'll keep on working on it as hard as we can. As to when we can be ultimately resolved, I'll really be doing this work. And I don't think it will be good for the whole. But on what ground is target success? They are said in collaboration with institutions. As a department, we don't do training. We facilitate and oversee training. It's taking place in institutions. We sit down with colleges, we sit down with universities, we work out what is feasible. Then on those bases, it helps us to develop class plans as well as annual performance plan that we present to Parliament. This is an indication of what the system would be able to produce. But some of the things that we are still working for, the planning cycle of universities is based on an academic year, and the planning cycle of government
been achieved or is achieved, but it cannot be confirmed as achieved because the universities are still involved in their process. The cost of administrators. I think the cost of administrators in terms of figures, we can look at that, but it comes far cheaper than the math that we have found and what we can to resolve. So they value for money in putting administrators where there is a need to do so. It broke me being a person because of that intervention. We paid salaries, we paid credit cards, we addressed overdraft facility because of that intervention, among other things. And that's what is happening in the policy as well. Now, the private institutions are managed through the process of the legislation. It's simple. If an institution is not compliant with what it has been expected to offer, then the penalty is to revoke the license or the petition. As to which are those, we can find out.
Labor relations to then conduct their investigations from the labor.
policies that exist in Canada, they are to be signed off. The officials have to put on suspension, precautionary suspension. They have had to do to pay to the officials. They are only allowed to approve us to the accounting officer. Two colleagues will be taken through an informal disciplinary process with a view to some kind of a warning.
In terms of the two colleges, two colleges are both in KwaZulu-Natal. One is Style Design College. It's on 12 University Road, Westville, in KwaZulu-Natal. It offers a diploma in graphic design as well as a diploma in interior design. The second one is Commerce and Computer College. It offers a diploma in information technology as well as a diploma in PC network. And as I've indicated, it are both based in the Devon area. In terms of the number of African and in particular female graduates out of the 12,999 provided, maybe just so that one is gender sensitive, just to provide that the overall for all African students is 7,627. For males, it's 2,698 from that 7,627. And for females, from that 7,627, it's 4,925. So more than 40% of the graduates would be African and female in particular. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I must say as well that I'm quite very happy with this question of artisans, especially that the Department of Higher Education and Training has declared year 2013 as the year of artisan. Looking forward as well to declare the next coming decade, 2014 to 2024, as the year of artisans as well. So we are therefore calling upon especially the interest of the committee in this area if we are to meet the target of 30,000 production of artisans by 2030 as required by the NDP. In the main, there are two routes that one can access artisans, which basically are still sanctioned by the Manpower and Training Act. There are very important sections there, Section 13 and Section 28. Section 13 deals with a contractual part, meaning which therefore are those ones that are coming through the employers. As we always say that you can't have an artisan without a workplace. And also CITAS are involved here, especially under Section 13. We are fortunate that most colleges in the country, we do have CITA offices, and our target is by the end of the financial year to have all 50 colleges in the country with CITA offices so that our young persons can easily access CITAS and they can easily understand the specific career options at our disposal. Another section that is very important in terms of Manpower and Training Act is Section 28. Basically, that one is non-contractual. This means that young persons are approaching labor centers across the country by the Department of Labor. I must say, we are receiving more of young persons through unemployed ones, through Section 28 within our labor centers across the country. For anyone to qualify for to be an artisan, there is a minimum requirement that is required of that person. He or she must have N2 trade theory as well as 3 to 4 years of work experience. I must also bring some comfort to members that we are also piloting RPMing, especially targeting artisan aid in the country, we are having 200 artisan aids that were piloting across the country. We renovate them there after this pilot study that we're undertaking. We'll be able to open up across the country so that we can also utilize this particular area of RPL Link when it comes to artisan development in the country. Thanks very much, Chairperson.
Because where I'm sitting, I'm asking myself, how do you appoint an official? Because
something that one would want to see what I have tested for today. What are the root causes? What are the causes that people don't, you know, they resign? Very so often tiring, I think. Somebody tried to say, but to me, it's not one of the really convincing reasons, but what are the root causes? I think these are the issues that we will have to consider. I just want to speak to the department. And lastly, I'm trying, you know, to lead the department that when we deal with reports, that the department that one would prefer that the official from the department that will deal with, because they're responsible for particular programs, to respond as needed to come afterwards. And this department is one of those departments. This is in FIFA. We are going to allow officials, then we'll have, I've got my reasons for that. But it will assist because we want to get more information. If we talk about numbers, we want to get, you know, to know numbers, and we don't want to know the overall, you know, because really this is what assists us, because we are from provinces. We want to know exactly what is happening in our provinces. If you are saying that we've got regional offices, we want to know where, you know, where, and what is the role of those offices. We are really here representing provinces because we are expected when we go back to our provinces to take for us on some of the issues. On that note, let me just take this opportunity, CM and the delegation, to thank you, Honorable Member, and the delegation.
Thank you. Thank you.
as a leader. And also known to be so. But there's one very important thing about the leader.
Thank you.